Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 12. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading from verse 5 to 12. And I will be reading from the New King James translation of the Bible. If I deviate from that translation, I will let you know. And you have forgotten the exhortations which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For him the Lord loves, he chastens, and scorns every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have been partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who correct us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us, as seemed best to them, but for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. Every first of the month, we here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center receive Holy Communion, and I always read from verses 1 Corinthians 11, 31 through 32, which says, "For if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Amen? So, what is the chastening of the Lord? And what is it not, the chastening of the Lord? It is a known fact that some believers and non-believers have concluded that God uses trials, tests, temptations, and puts sicknesses and diseases on his children to chasten. It is even taught in some denomination churches. They think that the Lord puts things on them to make them a better person and to submit to the authority of God. Is that really true? Does God really do this? And is this his method of making better individuals out of his children? Let's go to the source of all our answers and truth, our guidebook, the Bible, and investigate what the Word of God has to say about this subject. This way, we can be absolutely sure what to expect from God and what the devil may attempt to send our way in the guise of our being chastised. The title of our teaching is, "Who the Lord Loves, He Chastens." Who the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, we are told that wisdom is the principal thing. So in terms of priority, wisdom is the principal thing. It also tells us in all our getting to get understanding. But our main challenge we have as a church in learning about chastening of the Lord has been a mistaken misunderstanding in the meaning of the word chasten. I have said over and over again, in order to begin to teach on any subject, we must have an understanding or a meeting of the minds of the terms that we are using. And in this case, it is no different. I can't be discussing about a car and you are thinking airplane. We both must be discussing and have the same understanding of a car. In Hebrews chapter 12, our foundational scripture, the word chasten literally means to be child trained. Let me repeat that. In Hebrews chapter 12, our foundational scripture, the word chasten literally means to be child trained. It does not mean punishment or to punish. God does not punish his children, but he will chastise them. Amen. The word chastisement means the infliction of corporate punishment as defined by law. Notice, it means to punish. We have assumed that chasten has the same meaning in the Greek that it has in English, but it does not. This misunderstanding is partially to blame for the idea that God punishes his children with trials, tests, and temptations, and puts sicknesses, diseases, and other afflictions on them in hopes of making them a better person. Our Father is a rewarder, not a punisher. Let me repeat that. Our Father is a rewarder, not a punisher. He rewards his children. He does not punish them. Satan has really attacked many people's minds by them thinking that God is going to punish them for something they had done in the past. We know by the word of God that just isn't true. Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Again, that's Jeremiah, chapter 31. And let's go to verse number 34. And it says, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Amen. Our Father is so loving that he doesn't even remember our past sins. That is why you must study the Word of God for yourself to dispel all the lies that Satan will attempt to attack your mind with. Amen. Some people will not even become believers into the family of God for fear that God would get them from all the bad things that they have done through the years. They are scared, and not in a reverential way, but fear in the same way that they'd be frightened of a rattlesnake or a monster. Well, let me give you a news flash. God is not the boogeyman. God is not a monster. God is love. Amen. He is love. Unconditional love. First, let's look at some of the things that will assist or help us in understanding the chastening of the Lord more clearly. Our meaning for understanding is this. I've told you before, but let me repeat it because I think it's very important. The meaning for understanding is divine comprehension in your heart that gives you the ability to repeat or perform something at will. Whatever you understand, you can do it again and again, even under pressure. Now, let me repeat that. Understanding is divine comprehension in your heart that gives you the ability to repeat or perform something at will. Whatever you understand, you can do it again and again, even under pressure. Now, let's look at the word understanding before we go any further. Understanding, as I said before, is a compound word consisting of the word under, which means to submit, and standing, which means point of view. And so since we're talking about the Word of God, and since the Bible and the Word of God is our standard, the way God sees chastening is the way we should see it. The way God says chastening is the way we should say it. The way God implements chastening is the way we should implement it. And the results God gets from chastening his children is the same results we get when we chasten our children. Why? Because we understand it. There's no deviation between this. God is our standard. He knows best what is best for his children. And when we understand it, we are submitting to the point of view of our Heavenly Father. That's so important. Some people would like to take the Word of God and go to the left or to the right and actually take the Word of God out of context. But no, when you completely understand it, you see everything exactly the way God sees it. You say it exactly the way God says it. You do it exactly the way God does it. And your results should be the same as God has, because you completely understand it. There is no deviation. There is no confusion. That's why God tells us He is not the author of confusion. Amen. If you do not understand how God chastens His children, you will not be able to use your faith. You will be confused, and consequently, your faith will not work. Amen. You will be confused, and consequently, your faith will not work. Amen. So, you need to understand what the chastening of the Lord really is. Once you truly understand it, you will love to be chastened. But you have to have your mind changed about the word chastening and what it really means. Amen. Now, please go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Very familiar verse that we're going to read now. And I want you to follow along. Just don't recite it. Follow along as we read. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." But what again? "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Amen. So God is looking for disciplined people. Disciplined people that are going to believe that He is who He says He is. You can't begin to exercise your faith or even mobilize any faith to believe God for anything if you are scared of Him. Or you're scared that He will hit you over the head or something every time you make a mistake. You will actually be unconsciously afraid to use your faith. And without faith, you cannot please God. He is a faithful Father, and His faithfulness for His children stands the test of time. Amen. If you are going to operate by faith, you must believe God is a rewarder and that He is not after you or trying to get you back for the things that you've done for any reason. Many people have a fear of God, and it is unfounded according to the Word of God. Have you ever feared your natural father, a one that is loving and caring to you? I never feared my father. I love my father dearly. Amen. Now, please go to the book of John, chapter 3. The book of John, chapter 3. Another familiar verse that we're going to read, and this is verse number 16, and this is Jesus speaking Himself. And He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So I ask the question, why would a God who tells us He so loved the world, and we are part of this world, that He gave His only begotten Son, would want to harm you in any way? Quit listening to the lie. Quit listening to Satan. It's a lie, and speaks from his own resources. There is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it. Now go to 1 John chapter 4. the book of 1 John, chapter 4. See, many people and many Christians, they listen to many people. You ought to should be only listening to the Holy Spirit. Quit listening to the devil, because there is no truth in him. None. When he speaks, it's a lie. And he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You there at 1 John 4? Please go to verse number 8, and then we're going to read verse number 16. 1 John 4, 8. It says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is what? God is love. Now, verse 16 of that same chapter and verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Amen. So our Heavenly Father is love. That's all he knows is love. And says that's all he can show. And the interesting thing, we are made in the image and likeness of him. So we should show love one to another. Amen. A loving God, now listen to this. A loving God will never harm his children. Stop being deceived. Our God is not a child abuser. He's not a child abuser. The truth of the matter is, the Lord does not have to punish you. Why does he have to punish you? Think about it. Your obedience to the word will do that. Getting out of line with God's word will place you in a position to be attacked by the devil. He technically is the punisher. Let me repeat that, because that's very important. The truth of the matter is, the Lord does not have to punish you. Your obedience to his word will do that. Getting out of line with God's word or being disobedient to the word of God will place you in a position to be attacked by the devil and all his demonic angels. He, Satan, is technically the punisher. Amen. Now, please go with me to the book of John, chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 10. And it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And that is in itself punishment. When somebody comes to steal, to kill and destroy, they're coming to punish you. And God is not coming to punish you, not at all. That brings us back to the question. If punishment is not God's form of chastening, then what is it? Our challenge comes from not understanding what the word chastening really means. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the word chastening, along with chastisement, means to child train. It means to teach. It means to instruct. It means to discipline or correct. To train, as in training a child in the way that he or should go. Amen. So we need to teach, to instruct, to discipline or correct, or to train our children in the way that they should go. Not the way they want to go. God does not punish you to train you, and certainly does not put anything negatively on you to make you a better person. Now, please go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at something here. And we're going to read back at verse number 9, and it says, Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father spirits and live? Amen. Now, the word corrected or corrector has two basic meanings. The first meaning is teacher. When you are corrected, you are a teacher. The second meaning is instructor or chastiser. Instructor or chastiser. A chastiser is a teacher or instructor, not a punisher. I want to read that same verse, Hebrews 12:9, from another translation. But you know what? We're going to have to do that next week, because you know there's one thing that we have to, that we, you know, we just cannot, you know, we just have no defense against, and that's time. So I'm up against the time, and we're just about out of time. But please, let me invite you to join us next week, where we can teach our new teaching on the subject of chastising. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.